Jesus came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. Then the fever left her, and she began to serve them. It has been my practice since I was ordained to hold a weekly Bible study that looks at the readings that are appointed for the coming Sunday. And through the years, as this passage has come around in the lectionary cycle, I've heard many women react to this episode with groans of frustration. The comments tend to be something like, "Really? Can you believe it? Jesus heals Simon's mother-in-law so that she can get up and take care of all those men." Or you might hear, "How typical. That poor woman is on the sick bed, and as soon as she's healed, she has to start serving up supper and washing the dishes." Well, the truth is that we don't know exactly how she served the disciples. We make assumptions, do we not? But the text doesn't tell us what she does. I want to reframe this story of healing. As Father Christopher preached last week at Holy Trinity, the teaching of Jesus and the healing of Jesus are inextricably connected. They're woven together. Whether it's the healing that happens first or the teaching that is grasped, the two go hand in hand. In being healed of her fever, Simon's mother-in-law, who doesn't even get the dignity of a name in this story, takes front and center in her grasp of that teaching. When Jesus takes her hand, he raises her up, just as he will be raised up from the tomb in the 16th chapter of this gospel. She's resurrected. And she's resurrected for a purpose. This woman's purpose is not just to cook and clean. Her purpose is to be a disciple of Jesus, to know him and to follow him and to serve him, and to serve in the community of the disciples. She gets healed, and she gets the teaching in a way that no natural being has so far in the gospel. We know the demons get it, because Jesus tells them to be quiet, because they knew who he was. And we get these hints that other disciples don't quite get it, because they keep following him and saying, "You're supposed to be doing this, you're supposed to be doing that." And he has to tell them, "No, I came to proclaim, and that's what I'm going to do." In her healing, Simon's mother-in-law is called to discipleship, a call to which she responds with greater understanding and discernment than any of the other disciples have at this point. When this nameless disciple is healed and responds to the unspoken call to follow Jesus, whatever it is that she does, I believe she serves in a way that is consistent with the person she has always been in the core of her being. She offers the gift of her service in the community of the disciples. She was, in a very real sense, the first deacon, making a liturgical gift of her labor in a way that came naturally to her. Last Wednesday night, Father Christopher and I had a conversation with the Canterbury Group, our student ministry. We had a conversation about discernment. And we talked about discernment as a practice of paying careful attention to the leading of the Holy Spirit to discover our personal paths of discipleship. You see, discernment isn't just for those who feel called to holy orders. Discernment is for everyone who follows Jesus. I would guess that most of us, if not all of us, are here today because at some time in our lives, we met Jesus on our own shore of Galilee. Each of us who follow Jesus have at some time looked up from our daily cares and occupations, and we've seen, in some fashion, we've seen Jesus standing before us. Now, Jesus doesn't come to us today as a single person in the flesh, as he did with Simon and Andrew and James and John and Simon's unnamed mother-in-law. Jesus reached out his hand and called those first four disciples from their work as fishermen and reframed their work as ministry. And Jesus reached out his hand and raised up Simon's mother-in-law from her sickbed and reframed her work, whatever it was, as ministry. And Jesus stands before us when we encounter him in this body of Christ most often. Jesus comes to us in the persons of those whom we encounter in the world. It is within the body of Christ that we do this work of discerning what we're called to do. Each of us is called and commissioned in our baptism into ministry. And the ministry to which we are called is always congruent with our truest selves, who we are at the core of our being. In the letter to the Ephesians, we're told the gifts God gives are that some should be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until all of us come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to maturity, to the measure of the full stature of Christ. One of the most important aspects of discernment is the realization that the things in our lives that bring us the greatest joy, the greatest satisfaction, are the basis of the ministries to which we're called. So, for example, those who love music are called to be organists and choir directors and choir members. Those who love helping children learn about God through sharing the stories of the Bible become Sunday school teachers. Or those who just find joy in seeing others learn might be called to teach other things like English literature or math or quantum physics. Those who find great joy in working the soil are called to minister in gardens and on farms. Those whose great delight is to feed others are called to ministries of hospitality and mercy. And the list goes on and on. The classic definition of call to ministry is that your ministry lies at the very point where your great joy meets the great need of the world. So, rejoice with me now, brothers and sisters. Everyone who can hear my voice right now is called to ministry in the church and in the world. Every one of us has some good work that we're called to do in following Jesus and joining with him in his work of reconciling the world to God and to each other. God created you for ministry, and God will equip you for ministry. And we know that God gives us special gifts for the ministry that we're called to do. And we're going to spend some time at Holy Trinity as a parish learning about our spiritual gifts and how they work and how they support us in our ministry. When we encounter our risen Lord here in church or out in the world in our daily lives, he reaches out his hand to us and reframes what we already do as ministry in his name, just as he did with the fishermen and made them fish for people, and just as he did for Simon's mother-in-law and made her a deacon in the community of disciples. As the body of Christ, we are here to help you discern that ministry, to discover the gifts for that ministry, and to provide support for that ministry. So if you're not clear about what your ministry is and you want some help with that, my number is on the front of every bulletin. Give me a call and we'll work on that together. We can only fulfill our mission to love and think and act in the manner of Christ when we do so as the body of Christ together. So I'm going to ask you this week to spend some time thinking about what it is that you do already that brings you great joy. And as you're thinking about what brings you great joy and satisfaction, try to imagine a way in which it meets a need in the world. And that is your ministry.